Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It is Tuesday, February 27th. And as always, Tuesdays, we're here to talk about WWE NXT. And we actually have a pretty newsworthy show to talk about. This was the night before the go-home show into next week's Roadblock. So next week, we are going to be getting a special edition of a Tuesday night episode of NXT, which is going to be Roadblock. And they announced a couple of matches for that. I think they officially made four matches that are going to be happening. And then we got a pretty big return to WWE here today, which we're going to get right into. But before I do, just a friendly reminder to everybody that's here. If you want to get your questions, your comments, your statements, or just like your reactions or whatever it is right here on the stream, you're more than welcome to send in a super chat at any point, and it also helps support this channel a whole freaking lot. So first and foremost, I want to go ahead and kick things off by thanking Sheldon Jackson for sending in 5DWO memberships, always having my back here on this channel. Thank you so much to Sheldon Jackson. And then also thank you very much to YT, who I believe renewed their membership as a DWO member, because I know YT's been a member. So YT, thank you so much for coming back to the DWO as well. All right, so we're going to kick things off with the big news of the day coming off of NXT, and that is that we officially got the return of Sean Spears, everyone. So some of you are probably like, Sean Spears? Wait a minute, what? Okay, well, for those of you who do not know Sean Spears, you may know Ty Dillinger, because that's what he was known as during his time in WWE. But the last several years, he has been part of the AEW roster. I think it was like last December, somewhere around that time, was when we found out that Sean Spears would no longer be with the company moving forward come 2024. And his wife, Cassie of the Iconics, you guys may also know her. You know, she's constantly posting on social media and all that stuff. I think they've had like two babies in the last couple of years or so. So congratulations to them. But he is now back in WWE, and he is officially the person that, if you guys recall, the last time that we were, what was it? I forgot what PLE we were talking about, but one of the last NXT PLEs that we were talking about, they started showing these like little clips with some wording on it about the truth and all of that. Well, a lot of people, and I told you guys, it's not going to be Okada. There were people here that thought that this was going to be Okada. There were people on social media that legitimately thought this was going to be Okada. And I swear to God, I hope they were joking, because I don't ever think that it was going to be him. But anyways, for those of you guys wondering who that mystery person ended up being, well, my friends, it was Sean Spears. Now, I keep saying Sean Spears because turns out that that's what they're referring to him as now in WWE. They're not referring to him as Ty Dillinger. He's being referred to as Sean Spears. So let's talk about how this happened, what he's been doing, and the pros of the pros and everything in regards to him coming into NXT, and what this can mean for him and what this means for the division. So basically how this happened is somehow I was not expecting this to be tied into Ridge Holland. Like the way that this whole thing happened, I was really not expecting any of it, because it was actually a women's segment that was going on, which we'll talk about later. And Ridge Holland interrupted Tatum Paxley and Lyra Valkyria and came out. And you guys know the last couple of weeks, I have not been into this story with Ridge Holland. Like I have not been a fan of what they've been doing the last couple of weeks. It got very, very boring for me. So I just wasn't a fan of what they were doing with Ridge Holland. So I was not expecting the newsiest thing of this show to be coming out of this segment. And so Ridge Holland is out there talking about how, you know, he's talking about all of his actions and the things that he's done, and he's saying how he didn't have any malicious intent in any of the bad things that he's been doing. And then suddenly, before he can finish talking, we see some words pop up on the screen, and the words say something about the truth will prevail and there will be pain in his actions, right? And then all of a sudden, the lights sort of dim down. They don't go full black, but they dim down. And we see this person in a hood who comes out and hits Ridge Holland. And you see like this really bright light. So it's kind of dark a little bit. And all of a sudden, the person takes off their hood. And who you end up seeing is Sean Spears. And he got a really good reaction from the crowd to the point where it was being muted a whole lot, because whatever it is that they were chanting, we weren't getting to actually hear during this because it was being muted. And so Sean Spears later on says that he's going to be at Roadblock next week. And I don't know, he looks happy to be here. But let's talk about what the heck has been going on with Sean Spears. So what has he been doing? Because there are people here, even though I cover, you know, AEW and WWE, I fully recognize that there are a lot of people here that do not watch AEW. So some of you guys have been going like, what the hell has been going on with Sean Spears over on the enemy side, right? What has he been doing over on the enemy side of things? Well, I'm here to inform you. All right. So he's kind of been doing a lot. You know, he was with AEW for several years since 2019 through the latter end of 2023. Unfortunately, during his latter period in AEW, like the later period, he hasn't really been doing a whole lot in AEW. Like, he had done some great stuff on it. Like, he was part of the Pinnacle. He was part of Blood and Guts. He had some very funny moments. Like, he was on the side. He was like best friends with the MJF, even though MJF kind of treated him like shit. And he was part of the MJF Wardlow feud. At one point, he was his accountability buddy. Let's not forget that. So that's sort of what he had been doing over on the AEW side of things. But it seems like he kind of wanted, you know, a little bit more. And given that we weren't really seeing all that much of him on AEW towards the later period of his time there, I feel like it was probably the best decision for him to go a different direction. Now, truthfully, I didn't really see like, and maybe I missed it, but like, I really didn't see like a lot of people really talking about him during that time from between AEW and WWE. So I think a lot of people probably didn't even consider that he could be the person coming into this role on NXT. I'm sure there were several people that probably thought it, but it wasn't a name that at least I saw being thrown around a whole lot on social media. So I almost feel like because that his name wasn't being thrown around as much, him coming into NXT ended up being a sort of a bigger surprise than you know, most of people probably expected. Like, I wasn't expecting to see Sean Spears coming in to NXT, back to NXT, especially here tonight. Like, I wasn't expecting any of it. So I thought this made for a pleasant surprise. Now that I've talked about, you know, what he's been doing the last couple of years, how this all happened, we need to talk about what this means for NXT and what this means for him. Now, I don't know how many of you have been religiously watching NXT. For those of you who have been religiously watching NXT, you know, we've talked about it here. Especially the last 2 weeks, primarily, I have been talking about how we need more men on NXT because it was sort of slim pickings for the men. And we've been talking about this. Like, this is like an actual thing that they need to do, right? And so Sean Spears over on the AEW side of things, they have so many guys. So many freaking guys. Like, there was just a lot happening to the point where there was really no place for him really on that brand anymore, in that promotion anymore. And over in WWE, you know, Of course, he could have gone to Raw. He could have gone to SmackDown. But I think having him on NXT, a place that he is very familiar with, obviously a new version of NXT from the last time that he was there, of course. But regardless, I think that having Sean Spears come into this iteration of NXT that we're seeing, I feel like there is a spot for him to grab. You could literally already, you know, as soon as we're done with Carmelo and Ilya and what they're doing there, he can easily be in the NXT championship picture. If you want somebody for Obafemi to feud with for the NXT North American title picture, there you go. You got somebody there. Wherever you would want to put Sean Spears, it works because there are openings to be grabbed on NXT. All of these champions, all of these guys, they need more dudes to wrestle. Like, I cannot emphasize this enough. They need more dudes to wrestle. And also guys that come with a little bit more of experience, that are a little bit more established. And so for that reason, I see this, but nothing but pros in regards to Sean Spears joining the NXT brand, because I really do think the NXT brand needed someone like Sean Spears. Of course, they still need plenty more people, and I hope to see more guys coming into NXT and see more guys develop into bigger stars on NXT, because obviously it's a developmental brand, and I would like to see more, you know, with the women. We talk about this all the time. With the women, we've seen so many of them really go from like potential star to all of a sudden they're a big star on NXT. Great. We need to see more of that for the dudes, obviously. So good for Sean Spears. I'm excited to see what he's going to do over on the NXT side of things and seeing how that all happens for him. But let's go ahead and get into these super chats, because they are coming in and I want to get your guys' thoughts on all of this. So first and foremost, thank you so much to Darf Steven for kicking us off here. He says, Sean Spears going by his name says a lot. What do you think about that, Denise? So it's funny because when he came in, I had thought that Vic Joseph said Sean Spears, but because they had been muting the crowd, I couldn't really pick up what they said. And I was like, are they calling him Sean Spears? Or like, I just assumed he'd automatically be Ty Dillinger. And when later on the show, they referred to him again as Sean Spears, I was like, oh shit, that was not really something that I guess I expected. But I think it's better for him to be Sean Spears, because that's what we've been knowing him for the last couple of years. It's been such a long time since he was Ty Dillinger that I almost feel like that connection, I'm not going to say that it's not there, because everybody, the second he like came out, everybody was obviously posting the 10 and everybody knows that whole gimmick. So you were seeing a whole lot of that. So it's not like it's disconnected, but I do think it would have felt weird, especially if you've seen him in AEW and you've known him in AEW. It would have felt weird to see him go back to Ty Dillinger. But if you didn't see any of his AEW stuff and you just knew him for what he was in WWE, didn't see him and then he came back, then I think it would have been okay to still see him as Ty Dillinger. So for me and for people that watched him on AEW, it would have been a little bit weird, but that's how it is, right? We see people change their names and all of these things happen, right? I mean, God, we're literally sitting here where when I cover AEW, it still trips me out every time I'm talking about freaking Adam Copeland, because to me, forever and always, he's Edge. And it's so freaking weird whenever I have to refer to him as Adam Copeland. So if I could get used to that, I think we can get used to calling Sean Spears or Ty Dillinger or whatever the hell they want to call him. So yeah, he is going by Sean Spears. We got Jay Stone here who says, I doubt this happens, but the new Catch Republic adding Charlie Dempsey would be great. Hopefully winning the Heritage Cup means he gets more TV time. Oh, I'll have my thoughts on that in just a second. Thank you so much to Jay Stone for sending that in. We got Sheldon Jackson here who says, I'm so happy to see Sean Spears back in WWE, but glad he's kept his AEW gimmick that he started. The chairman, thank you, Cody Rhodes. Yes, let's not forget that whole entire history there. It's just, you know, it's cool for Sean Spears to get this opportunity to go back to NXT, because look, I hate to be this person that brings up numbers, but he's 43 years old, guys. And let's be real, WWE like, even though he obviously feels great, he moves great and all of that stuff, let's be real, WWE could have easily been like, bro, you're 43, you could be, let's give you a backstage role, right? Like, they could have easily done that. And like, the fact that they didn't, the fact that they were like, okay, you know what, let's go, you can still go. Yeah, you're 43, but you can still go. And there's a lot of people that are in their 40s, obviously, in WWE, but you know how it is. Sometimes they discriminate sometimes when it comes to age. And especially if he had been gone for that time the last couple of years, I feel like there could have been a situation where they said, hey, man, maybe you could be a coach at the PC or something. And no, now he's back on NXT, and I think it's pretty awesome. So I'm looking forward to that. Thank you so much to Sheldon Jackson. We got Willie Teague here who says, hi, Denise. Thank you so much for that generous super chat, Willie. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming into the podcast, and I hope you're enjoying yourself. Sheldon Jackson also says, also, if Sean Spears is back, then I think Spears Flatback Wrestling School co-owner needs to come back as well. Prince Petty, Tyler Breeze. Tyler Breeze, one of the people with the most, he's very charismatic, such a charismatic guy. Like, there's no one here that does not like Tyler Breeze, and I can't imagine someone who wouldn't. Speaking of, like, you know, just personality and stuff, I think given what we've seen from Sean Spears, especially like when he was doing the whole like accountability stuff and everything that he was doing in AEW, I feel like we saw that comedic aspect of him, and we get a lot of that on NXT. So I do think they can kind of toe the line there. I would rather prefer a more serious iteration of Sean Spears on NXT, because I do think we have a lot of people there that are doing more so like the comedy thing. I would prefer more of like a little bit of a serious competitor, but we'll see what we get out of it. Either way, he can kind of do a little bit of both. Furthausen says, not NXT, but will be at Dynamite tomorrow. Hell yeah, man. Have a good time at Dynamite tomorrow. I'm looking forward to the show. I don't think they've announced much yet. I know they're having the BCC match with FTR and then Eddie Kingston. Yeah, that's kind of all that I've seen so far, but I'm sure it'll be a good show. Stephen Marchulli says, NXT now has a nice veteran presence in Spears for the brand and locker room, and a good in-ring. Yeah, there you go. There's some good pointers there too. Some good points to be made, Stephen. Thank you so much. We got Sam Pai Boone who says, will Trick Williams return next week? I don't know, but I do miss Trick Williams. And right now when we get into, and let's get right into it now, actually. I want to get into the Ilya Dragunov, Carmelo Hayes stuff, because this also ties into Trick Williams. And I'm a little bit thrown off here, guys. I honestly am. I'm a little bit thrown off because they made this match between Carmelo Hayes and Tony D, and whoever wins that match at Roadblock is going to go on to face Ilya Dragunov at NXT Stand and Deliver. And the reason I say I'm a little thrown off is because, dude, I thought that was going to be Trick Williams. I guess I was expecting for that to be Trick Williams. And maybe it still is. Maybe they're going to, I don't know, do some hocus pocus and we'll eventually get to that. But right now, I kind of feel like, wait, what? I was listening to this match being made and I'm going, okay, the number one contender for Ilya Dragunov for NXT Stand and Deliver. Either, I don't think it's going to be Tony D, so I'm expecting Carmelo Hayes to win that, but I wasn't expecting Trick Williams to, like, not be the one to face Ilya Dragunov. So, I don't know. I'm actually curious to see what you guys think here. Like, is this still a, I mean, it's pro wrestling, right? They can, you know, shimmy up a good story to make it so that Trick Williams is part of this, but I was riding in the sunset thinking, okay, by the time we get to NXT Stand and Deliver, Trick Williams is going to be winning that NXT championship. I'm sold on that idea already. Damn. Now I'm kind of left here going, what? So we obviously need to get more into this. But basically, what we got here, and the reason I say this is, like, you guys know, man, I'm the biggest Ilya Dragunov fan. I'm as big an Ilya Dragunov fan as the next person. But I really do think that Trick Williams is so hot right now with the fans. The people are so digging him. It really feels like Stand and Deliver was going to be like his big moment to become champion. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I was rushing it. Maybe, I don't know, am I wrong here? It just kind of felt like that was going to be his big moment. And it might still be. I kind of have some hope. But I really do hope he's in that picture. I don't know when Trick Williams is coming back. They haven't actually said when he's coming back just yet. But basically what we got here between all of these guys here is they kick things off with Carmelo Hayes and Ilya Dragunov having a confrontation at the top of the store, at the top of the I was going to say the store. Oh my gosh, guys. At the top of the show. By the way, in case you guys haven't noticed, I am sick. So it's the drugs, guys. It's the drugs. It's the freaking Theraflu. All right. So that's where my brain is going. It's why it's all foggy. But anyways, so at the top of the show, they have this confrontation between Carmelo Hayes and Ilya Dragunov. And Carmelo Hayes comes out with a bunch of security. And this basically leads to like, oh, well, he doesn't have the contract yet. So I'm not going to talk to him. And I'm not going to get into the ring until he has the contract. And then Ilya Dragunov punches a couple of security guards. I thought it was funny and a little bit stupid that, I'm sorry, but Carmelo Hayes goes out there with like 500 security guards, guys. Literally 500 security guards. He goes out there with all of them. And when push comes to shove, Ilya Dragunov only ended up fighting off like three. And it was like really quick. It was just like boom, 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 done. And all the other guys were standing there. And they all had the same pose. Like this was rehearsed. They were all standing there going, this. Like, if you watched NXT or you didn't watch NXT, go back and watch this. All of the security guards are, like, waiting. Like, if the fans were going to erupt from the freaking bleachers and start attacking Carmelo Hayes. And I'm thinking, you were brought in to basically protect Carmelo Hayes from Ilya Dragunov. And Ilya Dragunov is out there punching your guys and no one's doing anything. Instead, you're looking at the fans going, go back and watch that. It was something so minor, but it made me think like, oh, that's kind of dumb. But that was the one thing where I was like, guys, you're sick. Like, go. You guys should all be going in there. You guys should all be going in there and having Ilya just be like, bam, 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 until they're all gone and out. That's what I thought was a little bit silly from this opening segment, but whatever. I'm just nitpicking, guys. You pay attention to little things, and sometimes it's the little things that kind of drive you a little crazy. It's like when you're watching a show. Have you ever had this happen, guys? Please let me know in the chat if you've had this happen. You're watching a show, and the show or the movie, and there's this really great table full of breakfast items, and there's scones and pancakes and bacon and eggs and orange juice and coffee and all of these great things. And then the actor comes in and he's like, gets a little piece of, and he gets an apple, literally gets an apple, takes one little bite and it's like, I'm out the door. I know it's something so silly, but every time that happens, I get so mad inside because I'm like, eat the damn breakfast. You have a whole feast there. Eat the damn breakfast. Anyways, going off on a tangent here. This wasn't the end of the Carmelo Hayes, Ilya Dragunov situation. We ended up having a contract signing at the end of the show, and this was interrupted by Tony D'Angelo. Now, the last time we saw Tony D'Angelo was last week, in which he was saying that he wants to be the Don of NXT and really didn't give much of an explanation as to what that really meant, right? Because he's been the Don of NXT. Like, that's his nickname. We've seen him, you know, God, there's been a whole lot with Tony D and there's been just so much that's happened with him on NXT, right? But what did this specifically mean as to what he wanted to do? I think you could have already tell that he was trying to go for the NXT championship picture, and that's exactly what he wants to do. He had a little back and forth there primarily with Carmelo, because he didn't really want to show any respect to Carmelo Hayes, and the respect was really all for Ilya Dragunov, and it worked. Flattery works, and we are going to be getting a match between Carmelo Hayes and Tony D next week at Roadblock, and the winner of that will become the number one contender for Ilya Dragunov's title, the NXT Championship, at Stand and Deliver. And this was approved by Ava Raine and officially confirmed by Ilya Dragunov because they gave him the choice since he is the champion. And this basically ended with Carmelo Hayes putting Tony D through a through the table. So there was quite a bit here that kind of, like I said, threw me off. But I'm curious to see what this is going to look like, because I've said this before, but I really feel like sometimes Tony D and his matches, they really need the bells and whistles when it comes to it. And Carmelo Hayes and Ilya Dragunov are like polar opposite. Like, these are like, so they're so great in ring. And so I'm curious to see what the matchup is going to look like, but I do think that this is going to be a massive little moment here for Tony D. So I think this will be fine, but I'm curious to see how Trick Williams is going to return, how and when. I'm secretly hoping that I'm kind of hoping that this becomes a situation where Trick Williams comes out and attacks Carmelo Hayes, cost him this match, or maybe this match ends with no winner because of Trick Williams' interference. And so all of a sudden, we end up going a different direction. Because here's the thing, now that I think about it, what's the end game? What's the payoff to this? What makes the most sense? We need to have Carmelo Hayes versus Trick Williams. That is the end game for this particular story between Carmelo Hayes and Trick. We need to get this match. However, because the thing that they both want most is the NXT Championship, we need to get to that somehow. Now, I don't know if this means that we have Carmelo and Trick fighting amongst each other to eventually get to Ilya Dragunov, or if it gets to a situation where one of these guys becomes champion, primarily Carmelo Hayes, and then has this match against Trick Williams for the NXT Championship. So there's like a lot of different ways that they can go about this. I don't know how they're going to choose to go about it, but I really feel like I want two things from this, personally, for me. Selfishly speaking, for me, the two things that I want is this blood feud between Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. Like, I want things to get ugly between them. I want it to get personal because these are two dear friends that were two dear friends. Pardon me, were two dear friends. And now things have got to get ugly, because the way that I see it, the closer you were to somebody, when you become enemies, it's got to get ugly, really, really ugly. And that's what I want to see. The other thing that I want to see is Trick Williams eventually holding up that NXT championship. So I don't know how, but those are definitely the two things we must get out of this whole entire storyline. All right, let's get into some of these super chats here, because we got people that want to say some things. All right, let's see. Where did I leave off here? All right, here we go. Sheldon Jackson says, Denise called Breeze Prince Petty. Xavier Woods would be proud. Look at me, man. Look at me. Hunter Tillman, DWL member, says, hi, Denise. Hope all is well. Much love. Thank you so much for being a member now for 13 months. The Swifty and me is very, very happy. William Buhner, also 13-month member of the DWO. He says, Trick screws Mello next week, calling it. Dude, I hope you're right, man. I really hope you're right, because somehow, some way, I need to get what I want to see out of this. Chris Ludek says, hope you're doing well, Denise. I just want to let you know my good friend Pedro Tavares Jr., aka Pat Angel, has his debut match on March 9th. P.S. I'm loaded. Dude, I know you've been talking about your friend having his match for a while now, so I'm so happy that it's finally happening. Before you know it, March 9th is not too long from now. So wish your friend Pedro the very best of luck, Chris, and I hope you settled in to your new home and your new job as well. Sheldon Jackson says, I think the official main event for Stand and Deliver will be Tony D'Angelo versus Ilya for the title, then Mello versus Trick in an unsanctioned match to close out the show, like they did in 2018 TakeOver with DIY. Well, Sheldon, I think you might be right on this. I can definitely see this being an outcome, because like I said, we need to get Carmelo Trick Williams. Like, this is a story that they have put a whole lot of like real estate into, and the big payoff, even though I did want to see Trick Williams be champion at Stand and Deliver, because that's like their biggest show for NXT. I think that Carmelo and Trick Williams going out there and telling this whole story with their match and just everything that they've been doing, that is a big time match for both of them. A big time match for both of them. Because even if you do, like, let's say we got to Trick Williams and Ilya Dragunov at Stand and Deliver. Okay. But when would you have done Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams? Like, Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams, because the story has been so big, you just can't do it at Roadblock. Like, that's not where you do it. That's not where you do Carmelo Hayes versus Trick Williams. It's got to be at a big pay-per-view. And so it's looking like it's definitely going to be Stand and Deliver. And then Tony D and Ilya Dragunov, you know, like I said, we do need a lot more guys on the roster, because I do think that it does feel like there aren't very many options for Ilya Dragunov, for guys for him to compete against. And while Tony D'Angelo is a pretty good name for him to face, and someone he hasn't faced that I believe, especially as NXT champion, so you will get something new there, but I don't know that it'll be the same caliber of match that we're used to seeing in regards to some of Ilya Dragunov's previous matches. Specifically the ones with Carmelo Hayes, they kind of really set the bar very, very high. So I think it's more so the caliber of match that I'm not expecting to hit as hard. And I hope that I'm wrong. I really hope that I'm wrong. I do hope to be pleasantly surprised if they do decide to go this direction and have it be Tony D'Angelo at Ilya. And it makes most sense because, like someone was saying earlier, Carmelo Hayes will probably get screwed next week by Trick Williams. Tony D'Angelo can get the win. Okay, he goes on to face, like you said, Ilya Dragunov. And then from there, well, what do you have? You continue the story with Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. So your scenario definitely makes a lot of sense, and probably what we're getting. Mike Parker says, Tony D not wrong about this saga, though. Ready to move on to something else. This is starting to drag for me. Are you talking about the Carmelo Hayes, Trick Williams, or are you talking about the Ilya Dragunov, Carmelo Hayes? Like, what portion of this specifically is dragging for you? Because it's just like there weren't, you know, I feel like they can't just do Carmelo Hayes and Ilya Dragunov over and over again. And you're talking to the person who loved the match. And even I was like, all right, guys, got to do something else now. Paul Morales says, hello, Denise. I didn't get my message read earlier in the month celebrating my first year being part of the DWO. Glad to see Sean Spears back in NXT. Ah, Paul, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for forgetting or skipping, or I don't know what the hell happened on whatever show it was that happened on. My apologies, Paul. And thank you so much for sending in this super chat, being part of the DWO for over a year. And happy that you're happy to see Sean Spears back. Paul Morales says, oops, 13 months. Let's F and go DWO for life. Thank you so much, Paul. Seriously, I appreciate your support, yours and everybody's here. We have Jared here, who's been a member for 4 months now, saying, crazy how the new women in NXT eclipse the men. Dude, like, if this was a race, bro, the men would kind of be like just way far back. Like, the women are, I don't even have the analogy for this, guys. Can't even think right now. The women just far surpass the dudes. And there's so many. And speaking of which, we're also most likely, so we got a tease, by the way. There was a video that played where they were a camera over the ocean. And in the sand was written, see you soon. And big words, Roadblock. And I think that means, guys, I'm expecting to see the return of Sol Ruka. Now, Sol Ruka, she got pretty popular pretty fast, and unfortunately, she tore her ACL. I think it was early spring last year. I guess if you do the math, Okay, so in April, it was when she tore her ACL. That was last year. And then, like 2 weeks ago, she returned for one of the NXT house shows. So she's clearly back on the NXT house show loop. And I'm assuming that was like her warm-up match. And so I'm predicting, and I feel like it's somewhat of a safe prediction, that it is definitely Soruka making her return to NXT. And I'm happy that this went by really fast, because Soruka started to go viral, dude. Like, she was impressing people that weren't even watching NXT, and her clips started to go viral on social media, and people were like, oh, who's this? And all of that helped garner so much more attention for Sol. So yeah, I feel like, you know, unfortunately she was out for several months, and now when she comes back, this could be her time to get back some of that attention that she had gotten, and, you know, ride with it. So yeah, that's most likely probably going to be Soruka. So we will wait and see. Mike Parker, in regards to his previous message, says, basically only Trick and Melo being in the title scene. Yeah, I agree with you. It's mostly Carmelo Hayes, though, not Trick Williams, because Trick Williams has to get his moment. You know, he eventually has to get his moment, I'm assuming. But Carmelo Hayes, he's been NXT champion. He's defended the title. He's lost the title. He's done it all on the NXT side of things. For Trick Williams, there's still so much more there to be done. So yeah, I think it's more so, again, just that we saw Carmelo Hayes versus Ilya Dragunov so many times. As good as it was, we just saw it a couple, three times as good. We need a little bit of a break. Just a little bit of a break. All right, so let's see, where are we at now? There's so much to get into, guys. I want to go ahead and get into the, let's get into the Lyra Valkyra promo, because there was something interesting that came out of that I wasn't expecting here. So Lyra last week ended up working double duty. Well, technically not double duty, because the match with her and Shotzi got cut short because Shotzi ended up tearing her ACL, and now she's out for, you know, several months. Okay, so Lyra was competing defending her NXT championship against Shotzi. She gets hurt. She's out. Lash Legend comes in. She ends up having this match with Lash Legend, and she defeats her. Cool. All right. Prior to all of that, she had told Tatum Paxley, the girl who's severely obsessed with her, that she did not want her to go out there, that she did not want Tatum to go out there at all, because Tatum has been known to get involved in her matches, and Lyra is not that kind of a champion. She doesn't want other people fighting her battles for her. She doesn't want any help like that. She's a very proud champion. And so she told Tatum Paxley that if she didn't come out, she would get her a surprise. And of course, Tatum was like, oh, I want my surprise. So she gives her surprise. And turns out that her surprise is going, you know what, now that I think about it, her surprise was a surprise to all of us, man, because I was not expecting this. Her surprise is that they are going to be working together as a team next week in a match against your women's tag team champions, the Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane. What? What? I'm sorry, am I the only person here that was like, what? I'm saying what so many times, but I'm literally, that was my reaction to this. I was not expecting this to be the surprise. Now, mind you, I'm definitely looking forward to this because, well, for one, it's like, oh, cool. We're going to get to see the tag team champions compete against these two girls. Like, I think Lyra is such a tremendous wrestler, so I'm very excited about that. And we know that some weird thing's going to happen between Lyra and Tatum. I don't know what exactly, but something weird's going to go down. It's going to cost them to lose the match, but I'm looking forward to this because I know this match is going to be good. Like, I really do feel like this match is going to be a good one. So for that reason, I'm really looking forward to this. Like, this was a pleasant surprise. This wasn't just a surprise for Tatum, but it was also a surprise for us, the fans. So that's going to be happening at Roadblock. Anyways, this was what was interrupted, and then the Ridge Holland thing happened. So for those of you who are wondering how that all went down. All right, let's see what we got here. We got Stephen Marchuli here who says, NXT, do more with Lexus King. He has it. Well, my friend, let's get right into it then, since you brought it up. Lexus King had a match today against Von Wagner. Now, need to talk about this because how do I say this? How on earth do I say this? Von Wagner was not a favorite on NXT for a very long time. He just wasn't a favorite. Now, I'm not going to call him a favorite on the show. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, he has like a shit ton of fans. I'm sure he has fans. I don't know if it's a shit ton, but I'm sure he has fans, okay? Hell, even I've grown to like Von Wagner so much more on this show than I did when we first started. As a matter of fact, when this whole thing first started, I was sitting here going, what the hell? Get Von Wagner off my screen. This is blah, blah, blah. That's literally how I felt. Moving forward, I started to be like, ah, you know what? Von Wagner's pretty funny. You know what? He's getting better. It's working, whatever it is that they're doing with him. Okay. That's where we're at with Von Wagner. Lexus King comes into WWE. He's doing all of these really great promos where he's talking about his father. He's talking about why he's not taking his father's name, why he's going by Lexus King. He comes in with a lot of swagger, with a lot of attitude, and it goes nowhere. And I've been sitting here every week saying, like, this is not what I expected Lexus King to be doing on NXT. And I had some people that were kind of questioning, because I had said last week that I felt that Lexus King came in with some buzz. And I really do believe that because, you know, he's Brian Pillman Jr. And on top of that, he had just came off of, you know, at AEW. Things didn't really work out for him there, unfortunately. He had one really good program that I always refer back to because I really enjoyed what he did with MJF. But that was really it. Got some cool moments with Varsity Blondes, with Griff Garrison. But then that was really basically it, everybody. And so I really thought, oh, NXT is going to be really the place where we see Lexus King just like hit things off right away. And it really hasn't been what I expected it to be. That's where I'm at. So he ends up losing in this match. He loses to Von Wagner, and he loses via distraction by Robert Stone. Now, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say because I just don't. If you would have told me when Lexus King came in that he would be losing to Von Wagner in this fashion, I would have probably laughed in your face. I would have laughed. I would have been like, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. No, it happened. And, you know, obviously there's more of a story to be told here, but it was just so lame. It was so lame to see that. And it was just not what I expected. It was not what I expected here. And when I think of the stories of these two guys, this is just not what I expected. But you know what? I'm going to say the words that I hate to say. I'm going to trust the process, even though I hate saying that. But for once, I'm going to say it. And I'm going to sit back. I'm going to put my arms up in the air, wave them like I just don't care, and let it be. We'll see where we're at by the end of the year. Because right now, like I said earlier, there's spots to grab for the men. The top spot for the guys on NXT, it's there to grab. But you got to work to it. Grab that spot and make it yours. So it could still happen for Lexus King. We'll see. Or hell, at the rate that we're going, shit, it can happen for Von Wagner. Who the hell knows? We'll see what happens there, guys, honestly. Brandon Rosen says, obviously, Kabuki Warriors aren't losing to Lyra and Tatum, so how does this play out? Does Tatum then turn on Lyra to set up a title match at Stand and Deliver? I don't know. There was someone's theory, and I don't remember who it was, but someone had a theory that Lyra was secretly working for Roxanne Perez. And even though that sounded a little far-fetched, I kind of liked that idea. I don't think so because they haven't given us any signs. They haven't really said anything. They haven't teased that at all. So maybe not. That's probably not going to happen. I'm just assuming that Tatum's going to fuck up somehow because she's not as experienced. She's going to mess it up and she's going to lose this match and it's going to be like a heartfelt moment. I don't know. I think that her turning on Lyra would be the biggest surprise. It would be surprising, because I think Tatum has been doing a really good job of truly making us believe that she has good intentions. What those intentions really are, I'm not really too sure, but I do think that they're good intentions. I don't know if she's in love with her romantically. I don't know if she's in love with her like an idol. I don't know if she's in love with her like a sister. I still haven't really been able to decipher all of that. But regardless of what her intentions are, they don't feel like she's trying to hurt Lyra. But she just might be doing a really good job of it. So if she does indeed hurt Lyra, I'm going to be sitting here going, oh shit, because Tatum Paxley definitely convinced me that she had good intentions. I don't know. We'll see how this plays out. Brandon Rosen, thank you so much for the super chat. We got Jay Hudson here who says, Denise, I feel like Tatum wants to be more than friends with Lyra and will eventually try to kiss her. Is wrestling ready for a lesbian angle? We've had them before, guys. I remember being a kid. And sorry, guys, I'm so disgusting right now. For the audio listeners who aren't seeing this, I got like Kleenex everywhere. Don't worry, I got hand sanitizer. I got water. It's a whole thing. But anyways, I remember being a kid. And obviously, I didn't really know about like romance or anything like that. I didn't know about any kind of romance. I didn't know about boy-girl romance, girl-girl romance, boy-boy romance. I didn't know about anything, all right? I was freaking sheltered AF. So I remember being in the crowd, literally like fifth, sixth row, when they were doing the HLA angle. Now, some of you guys here may remember when WWE did the HLA angle, and I was just sitting there going like, I didn't really know how to react because I didn't know what was happening and I had never seen anything like it. And so, you know, they've done a lot of stuff like that. Obviously, when they did Trish and Mickey, I also did not know how to react because I was not of the age to really understand that kind of stuff. More than half of what I saw in WWE, I did not understand for several years. It wasn't until I got older that I went back and was like, oh, that's what they were insinuating. You know, when you're a kid, sometimes things, they just go over your head. But obviously now, you know, I feel like it wouldn't be presented, I think, in the same way that it was presented in the Attitude Era. I think it would be presented in a maybe more tasteful fashion. I don't know, like more respectful fashion. We'll see. I don't know if that's what they're going to end up doing from there. Sterling says, no way you were there for HLA. Yep, I was, my friends. And at the time, like Stephanie McMahon, like she was like my favorite person growing up. And like, I was like, oh, Stephanie, I love Stephanie, right? And so seeing her be part of this, I was just standing there like, oh, I don't know what's happening. Am I like, what's happening? You know, looking around and stuff. But yeah, anyways, but since I got you guys all in the mood thinking about HLA, how about you get Blue Chew code Denise?
Are you jobbing out in bed? Do you have dreams of main eventing in the sack? Well, have no fear. Blue Chew is here to help you become the champ. Soon you'll make your baby face comeback and get the finish. Blue Chew is the place to go for chewable versions of Sildenafil, Tadalafil, Vardenafil. These ingredients help men achieve stronger,
yeah,
harder,
yeah,
and longer lasting erections for sexual activity. Woo! The chewable tablets help fight off all forms of ED, which can include performance anxiety and maintaining an erection long enough for sex. A Blue Chew subscription includes a free online consultation, 24/7 medical support, a prescription for chewable Sildenafil, Tadalafil, Vardenafil, if approved, and discreet delivery straight to your door every month, all from the comfort of your own home at affordable prices. No more in-person doctor visits, no more waiting for appointments, and best of all, no more awkwardness. So what are you waiting for? Head on over to the description box of this video and click on the link and make sure to use the promo code Denise.
Sorry, guys. I was just laughing at all the comments in the chat. Oh, man. I gotta tell you, that was perfect timing. I was like, oh, shit. I got a Blue Chew code. I can't even talk anymore. I got a Blue Chew ad to post on here, guys. We got a super chat here from Jay Hudson who says, Denise, thoughts on Tama Tonga signing with WWE? How would you book his debut on what brand? I think he aligns with the Good Brothers. Thoughts? Hey, man, that's not too bad. That's not too bad. Honestly, I don't know what they would do specifically with Tama Tonga. When I saw the news, I didn't really have that big of a reaction. My reaction was very mid, where I was just like, oh, okay, Tama Tonga's in WWE. That was kind of my reaction to that, guys. And so I think it's more of just a wait and see and how he's being presented and what they do with him. I don't know what brand. I'm pretty sure. I think send him to NXT. Just gonna say it. Send him to NXT. We need people. What did I say, guys? We need dudes on NXT. So more the merrier. Bring them over. Jay Hudson, that's kind of where I'm at right now with that. All right, so speaking of which, we were just talking about the Good Brothers. Let's get right into that. Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson were just versus Idris Inofi and Malik Blade. So, first of all, Booker T is back, guys, on commentary. I could have missed him. Honestly, he adds something to the show. And I've said it before. I was kind of like, when they announced that Booker T was going to be doing NXT commentary, I wasn't too excited about it. But he's been killing it. He's been doing a good job. I like what he brings to NXT. I like his sound effects and some of the crazy things that he says where I'm like, did Booker T really just say that? Yeah, he did. I thought it was funny, though, because Booker T's back to hating on Idris Inofi and Malik Blade. Still don't know why he doesn't like these guys. It's like he didn't like them, and then he started liking them, and then he left. He came back, and he saw them, and he's like, nah, I don't like them again. Because he was just saying that they need to mature and this and that, and I'm like, what? Where's all this coming from? I do not see Idris Inofi and Malik Blade as immature guys. But anyways, whatever. This match, for the most part, it was honestly a fine match. Like, what I kept thinking about while I was watching this was that Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson have literally faced some of the very best teams in professional wrestling when it comes to tag teams. They've faced the who's who's of tag teams. So when you think of their experience in WWE, outside of WWE, and everything that they've done, being in there for Idris Inofi and Malik Blade, I can only imagine that this was like a huge learning experience to be with such an experienced tag team like Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson. So that was kind of what kept running through my mind throughout this entire thing. The other thing that I wanted to point out, and I don't know if you guys noticed it, maybe you noticed it sooner than I did, but I feel like Idris Inofi has like gained even more muscle. I feel like he's really... I don't know. I mean, both of these guys have always looked well when it comes to their physique. Like, they got really good physiques. But I feel like Idris Inofi in particular stood out to me today where, like, I felt like his muscle looked more refined. I don't know. Something about what he's doing with his physique really stood out to me here tonight. And so for that reason, I wanted to mention that too. But really simple, Magic Killer for the win. Gallows and Anderson, obviously, getting that win. Afterwards, we end up getting Andre Chase, Duke Hudson, they come out, Axiom and Nathan Frazier, they come out, and then we get the LWO, they attack Gallus and Anderson from behind, Baron Corbin and Braun Breaker, I don't know why I'm saying Bronson Reed, what the hell, I'm out here just pulling out B wrestlers, whoever's name starts with a B. Braun Breaker and Baron Corbin are on the top watching. They're dressed like twins, by the way. I'm hoping they did that on purpose. They both got the shades, they got the black tank tops, and they're both standing exactly the same. The only difference is that one is very much tanned and the other one is not. And so I'm looking at this and I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, when it comes to the tag team division, like, this is it. Like, this is the tag team division on NXT. So Gallows and Anderson, I said this last week when they came into NXT, is they were pretty much needed here. It does feel like a little bit of a step down for them, but they were needed. So damn it, we'll take it. And the only thing for me that I struggle with, guys, is we need more serious tag teams here, because I can't take Andre Chase and Duke Hudson seriously when they come out and confront guys like Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson. I just can't. It's like, I can't really take them that seriously. And that's a little bit of a problem. And when I see Acton and Nathan Frazier, they're a really good team, but I kind of felt the same way. I didn't feel that way when I saw them in their confrontation with Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin. That one in itself, like, that felt more on par. And I'm pretty sure, like, this, when we eventually get this matchup between these two teams, like, they're going to probably be the team that takes the titles away from Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin. But here's the problem, though, is, and I think this is a problem already with Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin, was that if there wasn't Gallows and Anderson, there's not another team on the roster that I feel is believable enough that I can see them defeating these guys. And so same thing, if and when Gallows and Anderson become tag team champions, I can't buy any of these other teams defeating them for the titles. And obviously, you know, Bron Breakker's going to go off to SmackDown. I don't know what that means for Baron Corbin. They still haven't really answered any of that. But that's what I mean by we need more serious competitors, more of a serious team, because there's just a lot of guys that I cannot buy defeating other guys. And like, that's kind of how I felt like with Ilya Dragunov as champion. Like, there were certain guys where I'm like, I just can't buy that person defeating Ilya. Or even when Bron Breakker was champion, I can't buy this person defeating Bron Breakker. So there's very few competitors that I can say, oh yeah, I can see these people legitimately being competitors, and it legitimately being a toss-up of who can win. So that's kind of how I felt when I was looking at this tag team division overall. Also, there was a very funny moment. It was very, very brief, where backstage Bron Breakker was telling Baron Corbin that he should get a tan. Oh, speaking of that backstage moment, did you guys think it was weird? Please let me know in the chat, because I kind of thought this was a little weird. There was a moment where Gallows and Anderson, and I forgot who it was, it might have been Anderson, who told Baron Corbin that, he said a comedian Corbin acting like he loves this place. Basically acting like he loves being part of NXT. And I'm thinking to myself, wait, what? You guys are on NXT now. Similar to Baron Corbin, you guys got bumped down to NXT. So I thought that was an interesting line in this promo. I don't know. Maybe I read into it too much, but I don't know. It kind of felt like it caught my attention. And Baron Corbin starts talking about how NXT reinvigorated his career. And I'm like, yeah, but why would these guys come here and say that when they literally just arrived to the NXT brand and now they're out here making fun of another main roster guy that came to NXT, basically saying that, basically almost making it seem like they weren't happy about the situation. So I don't know, it was a little bit weird. Maybe I read too much into this, but that's kind of what I thought. All right, so let's go ahead and see what the people are saying here. Thank you so much to Mike Parker, by the way, for this super generous super chat. I really appreciate that. Mike Parker says, happy to turn in soon. Oh, sorry. God. Have to turn in soon. But wanted to say, while I've been critical of Metaphor, I have enjoyed Lash and Jakara in their matches as opposed to being background players. Wouldn't mind if they broke them off from the group. Dude, I'm not a fan of Metaphor. People know this already. But I love Lash Legend. I think she's my favorite person in that whole group. So I wouldn't care either, but I think right now, especially with Noam Dar losing the NXT Heritage Cup, I don't think that's going to happen. But I do think that Lash Legend, the reason why you're interested in Lash Legend is because she got over when she wasn't doing stuff with the Metaphor. You see what I mean? Like, she got popular on NXT when she had the moment with Otis, and when she was on NXT's deadline, the Iron Survivor Challenge. That's when people started going, huh, let me see what this Lash Legend girl is all about. And then her match that she had last week, her two matches that she had last week, she did great in both of those matches. So the reason why you're interested in her is because of the moments that you saw with her outside of Metaphor. So yeah, that's kind of how I feel about that. But Mike Parker, thank you so much for the super chat. We got Brandon Rosen who says, I've never been a fan of Noam Dar, Metaphor, or the Heritage Cup for that matter. Having said that, WTF was this booking all about? Now I care even less. So I might as well talk about that. And so the main event of the evening, right before the contract signing, was the Heritage Cup Championship. Noam Dar defending against a member of the No Quarter Catch crew, which he did not know who it was going to be. And it ended up being Charlie Dempsey. Now, I'm sort of along the lines of Brandon Rosen, where I felt like, truthfully, it got to the point where I was like not really caring about what they were doing here on the show. Like every week, it was the thing I talked the least about because it's like, if you got nothing good to say, don't say anything at all type of situation. And I had nothing good to say about what they were doing with the Metaphor and the Heritage Cup championship. Literally nothing good to say. So with that being said, God, I really, really hope. I'm struggling here because I know that Charlie Dempsey has the makings of obviously he's William Regal's son. So, and you know, he's going off, he's been in Japan, he's been doing all this stuff, right? He has the makings of a potentially really great wrestler. In terms of the personality, we haven't seen any of it on NXT. And I wasn't a fan of what they were having Noam Dar do, but it is totally opposite on the spectrum of personality. Cause you got Noam Dar, who was just like, you know, very, very like high energy and right. And then you have Charlie Dempsey, who's just like blank, you know? So it is very different when it comes to that, which is fine, right? You need different people. Like I was talking earlier, you need serious people on the show. I hope to become a Charlie Dempsey fan with this Heritage Cup championship run. That's all I can say. I hope I become a fan. We'll see what happens. But if this does not go well, then I'm just going to like stop talking about the Heritage Cup championship because it's been my least favorite thing every single week. And I don't want to be a hater. I'm not trying to be Drew McIntyre, but damn, I'm praying for times where I don't hate the Heritage Cup championship segment of the show. Brandon Rosen, thank you so much for the super chat. All right, and we still got so much more to talk about, so I'm going to go ahead and get to that stuff. Let's talk about some of the women's matches that we had here. Actually, we got a super chat here that I want to read from the Tribal Chief, who says, Stan came back to NXT to exact his revenge on Shawn Michaels. So Stan came back to NXT to exact his revenge on Shawn Michaels for super kicking him almost two decades ago. Long-term storytelling at its finest, says the Tribal Chief. Thank you so much for the super chat. Sorry, guys. I'm sick. I'm a mess. Things are not registering as fast today. All right. Let's get to the women's stuff. Roxanne Perez, Jakara Jackson. All right. Things to note here. Roxanne Perez is looking a lot more comfortable in this heel role. She went in there. She was slapping this woman. She was just, God, she was just going after this woman like there was no tomorrow. She hit her with a really nice springboard moonsault. Really enjoyed that. Roxanne ends up winning this match with a crossface. And it seems that this is definitely the direction she's going in now because she did not hit the Pop Rocks at all in this match, I believe. I don't recall her seeing her hit the Pop Rocks at all. And last week when she defeated Ren Sinclair, she also defeated her with the crossface. So I love that she kind of found something that she's going to specifically, this move that she's going to use in her heel persona now with what she's doing. So I like that because it is like the Pop Rocks is definitely a move that gets you like, ooh, and crossface is a lot more savage, definitely a lot more savage. So I kind of like that Roxanne Perez is also changing her in-ring moves just a little bit, right? Doing a little bit of tweaking now that she is a heel. So those are really the main things that I want to say in particular to this match here. We also had Kiana James versus Kalani Jordan. The things to take away from here is that Kalani Jordan, once again, she's going out there. She's showing her athleticism. She's been doing that all the time. There was a moment where Izzy Dabe pulled the leg of Kalani Jordan while she was on the ring apron. And my God, Kalani Jordan literally took like a sick bump. She sold that thing like there was no tomorrow. I thought that was really great, actually. If you go back and you rewatch that, pay extra attention to that specific spot because I thought that was interesting. But Kiana James gets the win. And that was pretty much it from that. And the other thing that we need to get to is we had Gigi Dolin versus Jada Parker. This one was also surprising to me, guys, because similar to Von Wagner and to Lexus King, not super similar because Jada Parker came in and I didn't feel for her what I felt for Von Wagner. Jada Parker just came in and was like, you know, she was fine. Actually liked Jada Parker from the very beginning. So, cool. I'm liking that they're really giving her an opportunity on NXT. But what I'm referring to is just like the expectation, I guess. I wasn't expecting Gigi Dolin to take the loss here, given that they haven't been doing anything with her really on NXT. And that even played into why this match was happening, was that Gigi Dolin went into Ava Raine's office basically wanting to talk about her future in NXT. And so I don't know, guys, something here needs to happen. There needs to be a reawakening of some sorts for Gigi Dolin. Also, I wanted to mention earlier in regards to Ava Raine is that I'm feeling like she's starting to feel a lot more comfortable in her NXT GM role. So that was another thing that I did want to point out there. But there are just two more things we need to get into. And I'll start off with Thea Hale because that's a big one. So Thea Hale, it's been like this now for the last like week or two. It looks like she's finally breaking off from JC Jane because JC Jane and her really don't have anything in common. Like, yeah, they were friends for a bit, but I think at the core, they just don't mesh. And so if you recall, JC Jane kind of gave some bad advice to Thea Hale when she went on her date with Riley Osborne. Well, Riley Osborne has kind of dumped Thea Hale, guys. He dumped her. That's it. And he said that apparently Thea Hale says that she got dumped because Riley was expecting a certain girl when they went on their date, and that was not the girl that he got. So she took JC Jane's advice, and it wasn't good advice. Which, to be fair, in JC Jane's defense, playing hard to get, it's not bad advice, but Thea Hale just took it to an extreme, and so it turned into like really bad advice. So now this is what they're running with. And so Thea Hale basically screwed herself out of a relationship, and she's starting to bond with Fallon Henley. And JC Jane basically made fun of her. She made fun of her wanting to be friends with Fallon Henley, taking her advice, and she also buried the old Thea Hale. So she told Thea that the old Thea was a loser. And she said a bunch of other stuff, really made her feel like shit. And so Thea Hale's just sitting there, really feeling sorry for herself. And JC Jane goes off with all of the other mean girls and they all bond. And Thea Hale's just sitting there, brokenhearted. So poor Thea Hale, guys. Poor Thea Hale. Good stuff there, though. I'm really excited. I'm really excited to see JC Jane versus Thea Hale when the moment actually happens. So that's going to be fun. All right. Last thing I need to get into really quickly, Dijak versus Luca Crucifino. Quick win for Dijak. Joe Gacy comes out. They start fighting. Cool. The match is made for Roadblock. They're going to have an asylum match. Dijak versus Joe Gacy in an asylum match. And then we're also going to be seeing a couple more matches that have been added to Roadblock, which is including Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin versus Andre and Duke Hudson. And we're also going to be seeing the Kabuki Warriors versus Lyra and Tatum. And we're also going to be seeing Carmelo Hayes versus Tony D'Angelo. So next week's episode of NXT should be a good one. And it'll tell us basically what to expect from NXT Stand and Deliver. So it's going to be a good one next week. All right, guys, thank you so much for everybody bearing with me today. I wasn't my best in regards to my health, but I made it through. I was afraid that I wasn't even going to be able to breathe on the stream, but I did it, made it happen. And I will be back tomorrow with Righteous Reg, and we're going to be talking AEW Dynamite. And then on Friday, I will be here to talk about SmackDown. And then Saturday, I'm flying to Revolution. So I'll be bringing to you guys all of the Revolution contents like I normally do. And then Monday, myself and Righteous Reg are going to be doing a AEW Revolution post show. And then I also got a bunch of interviews coming up. So there's a lot here to be excited about on the channel. We got a super chat here from Bear Hudson, who says, "You're an inspiration to little girls who see themselves in you and want to follow in your path. You have blazed a trail that no one can match. You have created a path for Latina women to excel." Bear Hudson, man, that's very, very kind of you. Kind of you to send this in a super chat and say such a nice thing. Really, thank you so freaking much, man. That honestly made today's stream, even though I'm sweating, which I think might be a good thing, actually. Sweating off this cold or whatever the hell I have. Sweating it off. So thank you so much to Bear Hudson and to everybody here who tuned in. Appreciate you guys all so much. And have an awesome day, everybody. Bye.